and welcome to Charts and Hearts. I'm Sarah, and she's Lindsay.
And together, we're working our way through an epic list of rom-coms in order to find and categorize tropes in the hopes of creating the nerdiest spreadsheet podcasts have ever seen.
And our episode this week is Empire Records. Yeah. So, only sort of vaguely a rom-com, but it's like, it's more of a rom-com than anything else.
Yeah, like, I guess teen movie?
Yeah, I guess it's like a teen...
Kind of?
Teen comedy movie, but with a pretty... Yeah.
Like, I think the problem is that it was a teen movie before teen movies were a trope. Like, we need a couple more years before that, so it doesn't meet any of the teen movie requirements. Like, it does, but...
It's like, it's a teen movie a la, like, Breakfast Club, but it's more of a rom-com than Breakfast Club. So, man... I love this movie so much. Like, a lot of it hasn't held up very well, but it's still very fun.
It is so fun. As, like, I haven't watched it in forever.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it for ages.
Because I don't need to?
No. No. Because it's absurd.
Welcome to the end of Fluffy White Shirt Has-Been Singer Month.
Indeed. And also Secret... To even us until we watch both movies, Liv Tyler and Ethan Embry month, because our episode on Patreon that came out, I think, last week was That Thing You Do, also starring a very different Liv Tyler and so less different Ethan Embry. Like, he still plays sort of that stoner-ish.
He's just a doof. Like, that's what his face looks like.
Like, ditzy dude. Yeah.
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 This movie is, well, so it's not, it came out in 95, so it's not 30 years old, but. In April, because I just saw Ethan Embry just posted, and it came up because it was his first thread, so I always get those. Anyway, in April, April 8th, because that's Rex Manning Day, will be the 30th Rex Manning Day.
30th Animal Rex Manning Day? Oh my gosh.
And if I had known that before, we would have planned more appropriately, but whatever.
Well, we'll just reshare this on the 30th anniversary of Rex Manning Day.
Yes, because we all need to celebrate Rex Manning Day, because he's so sexy.
Indeed.
Also... Like, when is Grease 2 going on our list?
I don't know, but soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the, like, very classic quintessential 90s record store setup that, like, you always hoped that there was a record store that you could go to. There were some record stores that were kind of like this in the 90s, like A&B Sounds here.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, the big A&B Sounds before that closed. And, like, but they, because they were... a chain, even though it was like a small Canadian chain, it just was different. But they had like the listening booths and the posters and the like cardboard stand-ups and the, you know, grungy
and then
grungy people.
HMV was really big.
Yeah. Some of the A&B Sounds were really big, but HMV was, because it was like an international chain, was so much
I don't think it had slick booths. But like the, when it was on Robson before it became a Victoria's Secret. Because it was two floors, and it was, like, the top was a lot more merch.
Yeah.
And also just a lot of record stores were a lot more merchy.
Yeah, well, there used to be, a big A&B Sound downtown, and it was in, like, an old, maybe, like, an old bank building or something, or a bank space.
Yeah, I have a
and
vague recollection
it was like
of that.
Two stories, but the top story was like open, like it was like a vaulted like lofted ceiling or whatever, not lofted ceiling, but like the second story was like around the perimeter, kind of. I can't remember where it was, but, and it might not have been an A&B Sound, it might have been some other record store, but yeah, like very, very much this. And
yeah,
like,
they were just, they're both the places where you could go in and it was so big you could spend like an afternoon in there.
Yeah,
just
like
looking
was,
at things.
Yeah, like wander around and look at records or look at CDs and listen to things
posters.
And flip through posters and flip through the like $2.99 CD bin. And it was definitely like an activity when you're like waiting for the bus or something even. Yeah. But yeah, this place seems like lots of workplace movies.
Yeah.
Dysfunctional as all get out.
Yes, but also idyllic. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is a record store that has everything that they need.
Yeah.
It's run by 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they have a huge back room where they can just spend their entire day.
Yeah, hang out.
But they're also, like, so responsible. And,
except for, with some exceptions.
Yes, which we'll get to. But, it's one of those, like, if I was 21, I would love to work in a place like this.
But, you know, it would be not this.
No. It would be very
chaos. So weird. And yeah, like there's always, there's so much of this movie where there's no staff on the floor.
I know. And there's just so much staff. It's such a weird thing of like, because we know that they're in trouble, but not really. Like they're not in trouble financially. They're just in trouble because their boss wants to sell them. So they need money.
Yeah, they need money. Yeah.
So it's not an entirely thing like You've Got Mail where she has so much staff and she doesn't let them go to save money. Yeah. But they're also like, they're always there.
Mm-hmm.
They're never working. But yet the day before this movie takes place, they made $9,000.
Yeah, but that's like, that's net or that's gross, like into the till. So
yeah, but still, that's like for one day.
Yeah.
In 1995?
I guess.
I don't know. It just seems, yeah.
Maybe that, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what, like, but like it's 9,000. They were open till midnight, and it seems like it was like a pretty big deal, like destination place.
Mm-hmm, place. So
yeah,
maybe.
I don't know.
So yeah, well, like, it's obviously working if the big boss guy wasn't so evil.
Yeah, or just like they would, you know, it's like he inherited it from his family. Yeah, and he wants to cash out.
Successful business.
Yeah.
For like 2 more years, probably, when everything went to shit.
Then Napster. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about the whole Lucas shenanigans of, like, he straight up steals the till deposit.
Yeah.
And because he has a, like, family-ish, almost adopted son relationship with his boss covers for him. But, like, he needs some help, like,
like, I think my biggest thing is, like, I feel like this is the first time I've ever really paid attention to this, but like Lucas doesn't seem to care or like understand that this was a problem,
that it was a big deal. And I think it's because he did it to try to save the business or like to help Joe, but like if he'd just not done that.
Yeah, and it's like, just one of those things of, like, even, like, without, again, without Joe trying to buy out the evil guy and all of that stuff, and, like, they, like, he still took $9,000 from them, and then he was just like, I'm here, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just, like, it's very strange.
Yeah, nobody seems to think it's that big a deal. I mean, Joe knows it's a big deal if Joe gets found out of having allowed it to happen, but not in terms of...
Yeah, and I could see it more from Joe's angle of, like, not telling, because, like, obviously he's wrestling with this. Like, you see him call the cops at one point. But, like, he's like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is my son, basically. Like,
yeah,
what am I supposed to do? But Lucas feels no shame.
No.
At all. And it's very, it makes me like Lucas less, which is sad, because he has amazing lines.
Yeah, he's got some pretty fun lines. On the less amazing lines was the extreme volume of slut-shaming in this movie. Oh, man. Yeah.
Is it? Do you forget that Renee Zellweger is in this movie?
Because I forget that Renee Zellweger, like, acted when she was young enough to play a, like, teenager, essentially.
Because this is a year before Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, so it's not that early, but it is, like, she's playing just, like, a way younger character.
Yeah.
Although maybe not actually, because, like, in that movie, like, oh, I guess she has, like, a 6-year-old in that movie, so she's probably, like... mid to late 20s, like her actual age. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Whereas in this movie, it seems like she's playing like somebody right out of high school.
I think so. Yeah.
Or maybe like a year out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. Anyway. Yes.
Yeah.
Just the normal amount of slut shaming for 1995, basically. Which
Is and sad. There's like the three kinds of girls, right? There's the slutty one, the smart, good one, and the messed up one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only kinds of girls that there ever are in the whole world.
And until the movie ends and everybody's happy, they are fighting with each other, because of course they are.
Of course they are. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like, one of them, you know, is mad at the other one and so takes it out by sleeping with the guy that she likes and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Yep. But the good parts of this movie are really good.
I know. And it does bring to mind the Liv Tyler storyline, does bring to mind the classic 90s line. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. And anytime I feel like that was like one of the first moments, because the internet didn't exist, but everybody knew and everybody saw that show, and so you could bring that up with somebody at school and they would know what you were talking about. And so, like, that was the first time I was like, pop culture community memes. Exactly. And also post internet memes, because it's a meme. But still, yeah, anyway, continuing. Not yeah. Liv Tyler, but brings it to mind.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what else? Speaking of memes now and from the 90s, AJ dressed exactly like Jordan Catalano.
Exactly like Jordan Catalano. He plays a much
nicer person.
Well, more open character. Like he talks, whereas Jordan Catalano basically doesn't.
No, he just leans.
He glowers. I don't know. Scowls. Yeah. And scowls with his floppy hair and his button-up shirt. Yeah. Man, yeah. So it was a problem for me.
I know. Like, and he's almost a really good guy. At the end, he turns into a tropey guy who gets refused, and that's very annoying. But
yeah.
A lot of the other times, he's good.
Yeah, he's mostly good. He just is also an entitled man in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, 20.
Yeah, and so. Like hadn't been taught how to like look after his feelings without blaming them on somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is neither here nor there. It's just one of these things where when Rex shows up with his assistant and he's like, what are we doing here? Whatever. And she's like, it's Middle America. They buy your records. And I'm like, this is New Jersey?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. That always struck me as weird.
Lucas goes to Atlantic City. So
yeah. So it must be close enough to somewhere. Yeah.
So it just seems like
definitely not Middle America, but it's not like a big city for a famous person. No, so I
it's
guess
not. It's just, but yeah. Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Like anyway. Suburbia buys your records would have been a better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then speaking of fluffy white shirts, but just slightly more tamed is Joe, the manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's his face? From Criminal Minds.
Yes, that guy.
That guy. Anthony LaPaglia. I was trying to remember what his first name was. Yep. Good times. You know you're old when you put those two things together? It was like maybe 10 years ago that happened, but I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember putting it together when I like was seeing ads for Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
Why does that guy look familiar?
Yeah.
Not that I've ever watched the show.
No, but, yeah, just seeing the ads. Yeah.
I think it's still running. I couldn't tell you if that's true or not.
I think there's like spin-offs.
A spin-off, I would assume. Yeah. But yeah, he's a bad manager, but is trying to be a good human being.
Yeah. 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 And he is having like an extraordinarily shitty day, basically.
Yeah. 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 And yeah, how did the bank not know the bag was full of paper? So it was a deposit bag, so they would have just gone in like in the bin. In the thing, and so the bank wouldn't have figured out until the next day that it was not money.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, the bank calls early in the morning to say we don't have your money.
Yeah.
Which, like, that, like, that's at night weird. It would have been a deposit bag.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the day with the boss, I feel like he would have taken
Yeah, that's it to true. Somebody. I don't know. I feel like he probably didn't go right to the bank. I don't know.
It just was one of those things of like this plan is not going to
work. Yeah, it's a bit sketchy, but that's kind of the whole point. They're just trying, he's just trying to do anything buy to buy time. Some time.
Yeah.
Any other random observations?
I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, there is an amazing line from Eddie, the pizza guy place, who's also a stoner with
Ethan
Embry, trying to talk to AJ about how he and Liv Tyler wouldn't be together. he's talking about how she's going to go to Harvard, and he's like, it's full of big blonde guys who eat ivy in rowboats.
I love that line. The guys who eat ivy in rowboats.
It's so oh my gosh. Good.
Okay. Tropes, because there's some.
Mm.
Key and why we picked it for this month is the epic soundtrack.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, so there's the fake Rex Manning songs, and then there's just so many more.
I know.
Probably like the Gin Blossoms one,
mm-hmm.
Till I Hear It From You,
and
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah,
Video Killed the Radio Star. Yeah, those are probably the two like,
main ones.
Famous ones. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Ugh, so good. But yeah, there's so many as I'm like scrolling through the thing of like I could just list everything. Oh, and then Cranberries too. I forgot there were Cranberries songs in this. Ugh. Man. Okay. Yeah. So epic soundtrack. Okay.
Yeah.
Of my life.
And then there's like sometimes fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
Maybe? Like, well, like with Lucas, that's why I'm confused. Like Lucas might just be talking to himself in a fourth person kind of way. So like the only real breaking of for the fourth wall is Mark when he during the setup for Rex Batting Day.
Yeah. So this movie did have like a whole nother storyline or what, yeah, something, and like there was stuff took place on another day and like way more stuff happened. So maybe it's from that of like stuff they couldn't totally cut. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like it feels like there's very few instances of it. So yeah, like, maybe there was more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So we've got the like opposite tropes of girls or BFFs, like the innocent and the quote unquote slutty, but just, you know, openly sexual girls are BFFs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the douchey crush, Rex Manning.
Oh, the douchiest of douchiest crushes. Oh, yeah. We barely talked about Rex Manning, but that's because he's the actual worst. And he's also like the MacGuffin of the movie.
He
like,
Yeah. He's not an important character. He's just.
Yeah,
something in the movie happens. The occurrence
of Rex Manning is important, but him as a person, which is like the whole thing about like, I'm sure that was kind of intentional about like fame and whatever. Of like, he's not an important character, but his presence is an important, aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We've got last minute realization of feelings from Liv Tyler. She's got to get her shit together, kind of. I don't think she actually does get her shit together at all.
No, but she comes to the realization that she needs to figure some stuff out. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she actually achieves it in the single day of this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big musical number at the end, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the community comes together to raise money to save
the record store.
Which is nice. Yay. I like that part.
Yeah. Lindsay, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aside from, like we said, the three tropes of the female characters, and they fight with each other, but they do talk, and they also make up. They also have good conversations. The whole storyline with Deb?
Yeah, with Deb is, like, pretty intense and, like...
Intense, and, like, they talk to each other about that, and, So, is it from a Bechdel point of view? I think it does a good job.
Gets a solid pass.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make a very 90s pie. Let's start with 90s clothes, because the short plaid skirts, the grungy clothes, the Jordan Catalano, the turtlenecks,
the really big clunky black shoes that Lucas wears.
I was so into those. DIY pins.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. 50 doesn't seem like enough.
No, but I think it's enough because similar to lots of things, like they weren't 90s, they weren't doing it. It's not a period piece. That's just what they were wearing.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't, they were just wearing normal clothes for the time. Clothes, but just looking back, it feels like such a period piece. Mm-hmm. And also because, you know, like
30 years old.
We were teenagers in the 90s also.
You were in 1995. I was 11.
Well, I said in the 90s in general. Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I was in middle school when this movie came out.
Oh, perfect time, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
In middle school, I went to Can't Hardly Wait, which is an Ethan Embry movie. So there you go. It all comes back.
That movie came out the year I graduated, so I think.
There we go.
Yeah. There's not a lot of time that it comes out that we're like 2 and a bit years apart, but the 90s is when it really strikes home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The man. You know who we haven't talked about at all? Warren.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He's ridiculous. He also is like the precursor to Seth Green's character in Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. So much.
Oh yeah, boy. He's like the annoying little brother, but not little brother, but also like too gangster for his own good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's so good. 20%?
Yeah.
I feel like they're fighting the man. That's kind of the whole plot of the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spontaneous dance numbers.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot.
So many.
They do a lot of dancing and not a lot of working in this story.
But they're so good. Because, and I like that. So obviously it's a record store, so they're always playing movie or music. And then everybody has like a veto or like depending on the vibes, people put on like certain songs to like cheer up their coworkers and stuff, which leads to dance numbers.
Yeah. And I like that. And it's one of those things of like the montages of competency porn of like AJ, I think, is the daytime manager. Like he's definitely got more seniority than other people, which explains also why he's in the back for the entire movie, except at the beginning when he's setting up tills.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things of like, look at them all do their work. They're so good at working for like 5 minutes.
There is a lot of staff in the movie, but also they're open till midnight and it's a huge store. So like, it's not actually enough staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they do, they are staggered. More come in as the day goes on.
They trickle in throughout the day. Okay, and then last up is Lucas's couch timeout spot, which will give 10%. I love, especially when he's like trying to balance like one foot on it, and then he just gives up and like carries the couch cushion around.
Yep. And then in the next dance scene, which is, happens right afterwards, he's dancing with an old lady who's holding his couch pillow.
I know. It's so good.
This and is then, the thing. Lucas is so charming, and he's so good, and he's so good with Warren.
Yes, like, yeah, he's both really good as, with
like,
Warren.
An employee of like catching the shoplifter, but also like talking to Warren, and I'm like, he's such a good person. And then there's just like this whole
He's also like very troubled. Okay, Lindsay, what's next for them? And by them I mean AJ and
Liv Tyler's
character.
Ugh, they're so young and
so young and small, do not have their shit together in any stretch. I think they'll date for like a while until either he figures out how to be a human being and they stay together, or she figures out that he's an asshole secretly, but not that secretly, and breaks up with him because he seems like he would not treat women well in like the big picture of things.
I think like he's gonna have some problems with her being in Harvard with all the big blonde guys who eat ivy.
Yeah, just exactly. Like being he's gonna them. Just be super jealous and controlling and
and I think that she's gonna have a really hard time at Harvard.
Yeah,
like without, beside from him, I think she's going to have a really hard time with her perfectionism, with her father issues, with her
speed
issues. Mm-hmm. She needs help. And going from this small town where everybody loves her to this huge anonymous university that requires so much perfection, I think it's going to be a problem. And that she's not, she's going to just like abandon AJ for.
Well, and if she focuses on staying connected with her hometown boyfriend instead of looking after herself at Harvard, then seems like a recipe for a disaster. So I don't have strong hopes.
No, me either. But Joe owns Empire now, so that's nice.
Good for
and
them.
Joe and Debbie Mazar are gonna have dinner, and they seem cool. I'm into them.
Yeah, they could be together.
Yeah
And then Lindsay, what's next for us?
Going into a weird but super fun month.
Yes.
Next month is First Wives Club month. Why? Yes. Because we make the rules.
Agreed.
So Patreon will be First Wives Club because it's not a romance, but we love it. So there you go. Next up on the main feed will be Failure to Launch with so much McConaughey. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah, it'll be so fun. Yeah, we've got a good lineup of
stuff for April.
People who were in the First Wives Club movie.
And as we said earlier, Patreon this month is That Thing You Do. If you love That Thing You Do, go listen, because we just spend the entire time gushing about it because that movie rocks.
Yeah, and if you don't want to join Patreon, you should just watch that movie.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Because it's amazing. If you'd forgotten about the movie, highly recommend just catching up with it because it slaps. Okay, that brings us to the end of this episode. You can always leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us on social media. We're at Charts and Hearts Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. And I guess we're still on Twitter at Charts and Hearts.
Yeah. You can head to our website, chartsandhearts.com, where you can submit your suggestions for rom-coms and tropes for us to add to the list. And you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chartsandheartsclub. We do also have a Spotify playlist for all our movies that goes out to our patrons. So there's some really good stuff.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff from other months, but this is a good one. Some good additions this month. And we would love to know your thoughts on this movie. And in the meantime, we mustn't dwell. No, not today. We can't. Not on Rex Manning Day.
Hooray!
Oh my gosh.